Dr. Roy Morgan, welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. As I try to get the microphone adjusted just a little bit closer and better, hopefully you can hear me very clearly this morning. 2 points. It wasn't that long ago that my wife received a phone call, and the other person on the other line said, "Oh, Mrs. Morgan, we've got a special deal for you. It's a timeshare." Well, I'm sorry. We've got this resort vacation area. It's just like the most beautiful place on earth. It was in South Carolina at Myrtle Beach. Of course, we have family members in Pensacola, Florida, so I've been to Destin before, and I've been to Pensacola Beach, you know, where you go from Pensacola. I don't know if it's a five-mile bridge or whatnot, but, you know, you got to cross that bay area in order to get to Santa Maria Island and get to the beach. And if you've ever been there before, I mean, it's just a free public beach. I love it. Blue, clear, tropical-looking water. You can see through it. The sand is just about as white as you could make sand. I mean, it's just drop-dead gorgeous. And they keep the beaches so clean. They have that big John Deere tractor that drags some type of debris-catching. Maybe it just picks out the old shells. But the beaches are so clean, it's just fun to go there. Of course, the sales pitch for South Carolina was that it's just the most favorite, number one beach in the world. I don't know that I would say that, but I thought the people in South Carolina were fabulous, and it's just a very beautiful place, and I like seeing the scenery, and I have never seen so many pancake houses in my entire life, but, you know, every 200 yards, there was another pancake house, so I figured out real quick, this is what people from the Northeast like to eat all day long. And that's why it's there, because that's who we found there when we went to Myrtle Beach. We found a large concentration of people from New York, the Bronx, New Jersey. Nothing against somebody from New Jersey, because I actually know somebody that was born and raised in New Jersey, and she's quite delightful. She's probably listening right now. She is delightful, though. But in order to do this, I mean, we still had to pay for it, but it was at a discounted rate. In order to do this, we had to listen to a one-hour sales pitch from a salesman on the timeshare. And I'm not saying that I'm a hard sell. Okay, I'll let you be the judge of that. I know I'm biased. I know that for a fact. But when I went into it, you know, he said, "This is the way it is right here." And I said, "Well, do you have anything in writing?" Oh, you would have thought that I said something so offensive to him that he couldn't handle what I was saying. And he just about had a fit. And he said, "Well, most people read all the fine print before they come in." I said, "I didn't know there was any fine print to read." Anyway, by the time it was said, I'll skip all that. But the time it was said and done, he didn't want to give me any information. He didn't want to answer one question I had. And, you know, it was just a shock to me that what the fees were, you know, to be a member of this timeshare, it was just completely shocking. And oh yeah, by the way, the maintenance fee is $1,000 a year. Anyway, we didn't do that. That's just me, though. If you like timeshares, I think that's just wonderful and great. You know, and I couldn't find the article that I wanted to this morning, so please forgive me. I really tried to find it. Okay, I really didn't try that hard, but I remember it. And what the article was, it was a survey among oncologists from Canada. And they were asked just very simple questions. They said, if you came down with cancer, would you take the very drugs that you recommend to patients every day? You know what the answer was? Well, of course, you know I'm biased. I am completely biased on every level to any therapies or treatments or remedies or natural cures. If you want to try to slam what I'm saying and say, oh, those are just folk remedies that aren't proven, I don't care. That's fine. I don't care if you call them folk remedies. I don't think if you say that, yeah, that's what my grandmother used to use, but that's not scientific, that doesn't offend me in the least. But when oncologists from Canada were asked specifically, would you take any of the remedies that you recommend all day long to your patients? And 87% said no, they wouldn't under any circumstances, nor would they be giving them to their loved ones. So that made me think. And believe me, this morning, all I'm just telling you is sometimes when I have a patient in front of me, I just ask very simple questions. And one of the questions I asked recently of a patient was, did the oncologist, and of course this was a person that has a diagnosis of a form of a cancer. I said, did the oncologist give you anything in writing demonstrating that their treatments were effective? He says no. Or they say no. I shouldn't say he. It could have been a woman. Probably was. But they said no, they didn't. They didn't offer me any research whatsoever to demonstrate that it was very effective. I have a feeling that if you had a cataract that was forming in one of the lenses of your eye, and you try to look out of your eye and you can't see because there's this white cloud of, it looked like a cotton ball in your eyeball, because you have a completely formed, developed cataract. I think if you went to the ophthalmologist and said, okay, are there any studies that show that, what you offer me by removing my defective cataract filled lens and replacing it, will I be able to see afterwards? You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, oh my word, yes. You will be able to see. It'll be night and day different. They'll even offer you studies of satisfaction of patients. But you see, none of these things exist for chemotherapy. Now, I know what I'm saying is probably going to come across as quite shocking and harsh to you. But is it okay if we question things? Is it, folks? Does everything have to just be completely based on trust? When I say that, I mean, do you just have to take the oncologist's word for it that these treatments are superior and fabulous and wonderful, that you can't do any better? And of course, the same phrase I hear over and over again. The oncologist always says, if you don't do this, you're going to die. You'll never make it without it. Well, doctor, do you have any studies showing how effective chemotherapy? They never want, no. They say, we're not going to do that. We're not going to demonstrate any studies to you because what if something doesn't go 100% perfect? You're going to blame me. Well, there may be some truth to that. Anyway, last week, I sort of covered a topic concerning a natural element that is found in nature. I did not make it. I had nothing to do with it. I'm not smart enough to design the clove tree. But obviously, you have probably seen beautiful pictures from a Better Homes and Garden or some type of a Southern Belle magazine that it shows a table that is just set to perfection. And removed from the oven, we have a ham that has cloves, perfectly artistically pressed into the ham to give it a very unique aroma and flavor. So, bingo. If cloves were so toxic and so evil, wouldn't there be just mass people running to the emergency room saying, oh no, grandma served a ham with cloves in it? Or even worse, what if your mother tried to cook peaches or apricots and she'd put a clove in a peach slice or a half or an apricot? I mean, wouldn't Child Protective Services come to rescue for the severe clove toxicity? Well, of course, I'm joking now at this point. I don't even know how many people I've talked to this week that said, oh no, clove oil is toxic, it's evil. I'm thinking to myself, do you know how much clove oil and cloves have been used throughout the history of mankind over the centuries? Let's just say, what is the worst case scenario? I mean, the only, I even looked again last night for about 30 minutes on the internet. That's not really what I'd call a hardcore literature search, but it was just maybe my half-hearted, effort at trying to see if I could uncover any new information concerning clove oil. And about the only thing that I could come up with was, let's just say, for example, there was a person that took clove oil and they said it upset their stomach. Well, fine. Don't take it if it upsets your stomach, or maybe we need to use less of it. But by and large, it's extremely non-toxic. Extremely. So, what I thought I would do is I would just maybe try to touch base one more time and see if I can't bring just a little bit more clarity. For the purpose of trying to, help you out and be a good physician to you. So, whatever I tell you, I'm going to see if I can't find some type of a scientifically referenced article, which I'm telling you, it's kind of hard to come by. Even last night, I found myself just scratching my head saying, this is good information, but do they have, and I don't, okay, let me start over here. I know what I'm doing here. I'm kind of playing both sides of the equation. I have completely full faith and patience. I have some of the most wonderful people that when they tell me that they've had a very positive response, it's very, very easy for me to choose to believe them. I don't question them. I don't doubt them. I don't say, why are you making this up? You know, you're telling me that you felt horrible a week ago and now you feel fabulous. Well, of course, I'm being a bit ridiculous. I just have complete faith in people. If they tell me that they've received a very good, pleasing benefit, then I believe them. One story that I heard this week, and I realize this is a most radical study, I mean story, so if you're a dentist, you may not like this, but then again, you may like it. I mean, my father-in-law's been a dentist for how long? A long time. And he doesn't use, there are drugs out there like benzocaine and lidocaine. Now, even though you don't know this, but those have been shown to be pretty potent cancer-causing agents. Do they work? Yeah, they'll totally numb and deaden an area so they can apply, you know, an anesthetic through the gums into the teeth so they can do a work on the cavity. They work. But they also are very carcinogenic. But how many dentists out there actually use clove oil? It's been used for centuries. Anyway, a lady told me that her husband had horrible, you know, tooth pain. Couldn't get relief. But applying clove oil directly to the area of pain yielded perfect, pleasing results. Do you think that I think that she's making that up? No, I completely trust and believe her story. Although I do know of one human being, I'm not saying I'm related to this gentleman or not. Could be me. But then again, maybe it's a different person that went hog wild and decided to put about 20 drops of clove oil on the toothbrush and yeah, that was really fun hopping around for 10 seconds while the mouth was on fire. But not that I would really, I'm not recommending that anyway. But that's, this week I've had more people call me and say, well, don't you know that clove oil is not good for topical application, for you can't use it in food, you can't, and I'm beginning, where did you come up with this information? It's because the manufacturer puts on the bottle of clove oil that it's only for... keeping in the bottle. You can't open the bottle. You can't use it. It's not for internal use. It's not for topical use. I think probably that's on there for the purpose of making the attorneys that represent the company happy anyway. Because I'd love to tell you that people are real smart. Sometimes they're not so smart. Sometimes they'll say, oh my word, here's clove oil. That smells strong. I think I'm going to rub a whole bunch of it in my eyeball. Your eye's going to be on fire. Anyway, let me cover this area just one more time. And again, I'll be the first to admit I'm extremely biased toward natural health care. If you tell me there's a substance in nature that's been used for centuries very successfully and safely without toxic side effects, without people dying or having liver failure or dying from chemotherapeutic intervention, the doctor said if they didn't take it, they would die. I'm completely biased. I admit it. I don't think there's any mystery about it. I think everyone that listens to this program called Health Essentials knows that I'm very, very biased. But I'd like to think that I'm biased, and maybe I'm blind here. Maybe I'm so biased I can't see the truth. But I want to keep an open mind here, so let me run this past you just for a second. You may remember me saying in the past that if there was a substance that could cause tooth decay, it'd probably be sugar. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. Although occasionally, I have full-grown men that are extremely intelligent look me in the eye and say, Dr. Morgan, I never knew that sugar or drinking 25 Cokes a day could be bad for you. And I think to myself, really? I don't say that because they kind of look at me like, what? I'm really being serious, Dr. Morgan. 25 Cokes is good for you. My doctor told... No, that doesn't happen. So whatever type of mechanism we have to make ourselves feel okay about what we're doing, sometimes that's what we do. But if you drink a Coca-Cola that contains phosphoric acid, or even worse, if you drink an energy drink like Monster Energy or Red Bull, well, that's pretty much a recipe for putting so much acid-forming substances in your mouth, it can literally dissolve the enamel, break down the integrity of the tooth, and make it very, very easy for a very specific type of bacteria called Streptococcus mutans to eat your tooth and cause a cavity. But what happens if you don't consume Coca-Cola or Red Bull? Well, you're better off. Now, the interesting thing about this is, this one reference, just in case you want to look it up, it's called the Asian Pacific Journal Tropical Medicine, the year 2011. And they state in the article, and I'm just giving you the short and sweet of it, which because that's kind of what I like to look. I don't want you thinking that I spent 4 hours reading one article. I did not. I just read the abstract, and I'm choosing to believe it. But however, if you ask your dentist, Mr. or Mrs. Dr. Dentist person, what causes tooth decay? Well, what do you think they're going to say? Let's just say they have a person, if the dentist turns and says, you know, well, what do you want to know? Do you want to know, is it drinking Coca-Cola? Is it candy? Well, of course they're going to say that. But ultimately, the sugar and the acid, they make it very, very easy for a very specific type of bacteria called Streptococcus mutans to just grow hog wild. And it's been shown that Streptococcus causes tooth decay. Well, what feeds it? Well, you know as well as I do, all the toxic germs. And I know this is a shock to some people. And I have a few people that still tell me that sugar is the solution for every problem. Well, that's probably debatable. If you want to make your teeth rot, you need to eat a lot of sugar and drink Cokes. That's as simple as that right there. Because it feeds Streptococcus mutans. Well, according to the Asian Pacific Journal of Tropical Medicine, 2011, there's one unique substance that's found in nature that has completely been shown to kill and destroy this acid-forming bacteria called Streptococcus mutans. Well, what is it, Dr. Morgan? It's clove oil. Folks, I can't make this stuff up. Now, I realize they may not have this at the large, you know, mart-type stores, but if somebody were like-minded like me, or let's just assume we're all like-minded, that we don't want to put toxins into our body, we want to use natural things that have no toxicity and have been proven to be safe. Why would they sell toothpaste that one of the ingredients is clove oil if it was so diabolical and so dangerous? Would the Food and Drug Administration allow that? I don't think they would. Clove oil is not a cancer-causing agent. But it does a wonderful job at preventing toxic bacteria from growing in your teeth. What do you think about them apples? You like that information? Maybe you shouldn't use 20 drops on a toothbrush and then brush your teeth with that. I'm just joking. Don't do that. Unless you want, you know, your mouth to be completely on fire and numb for 20 seconds or 10. You know what? But, you know, everybody needs to feel like they're alive. You'll feel like you're alive, all right. Maybe a drop every other day will be enough to kind of infuse your toothbrush with clove oil because it's so strong and it's so pungent. And I'm telling you, it is really, really, really amazing. So if clove oil has been used for centuries as an anesthetic for the teeth and to stop tooth pain, you know, years ago, when I was much, much, much younger, I took a field trip when I was in college, and my biology teacher, Dr. Vernon Price, whom I still think is a fabulous human being, you know, he still teaches. He's probably 90 years old, or 92. Make a long story short, Dr. Price took us to the Food and Drug office in Dallas, and we got to take a tour. Very, very interesting. Well, you know, the Food and Drug Administration, they've downgraded clove oil, or its active ingredient, eugenol, because they think there's not enough evidence to rate eugenol or clove oil as effective for toothache pain, even though dentists have used it for hundreds of years. I'm telling you, you might want to just consider this. What if there's an inconvenient time to go to the dentist? Well, I can just pretty much guarantee you that's when you're going to have a bad toothache, or when your tooth is going to have an abscess. It's going to be on the weekend, not just a weekend. It's going to be on a four-day weekend when there's like a major holiday, and there's not going to be anybody to go to because they're out of town or they're off visiting, and there's no one to cover you. So you keep calling the office saying, Oh, my word, it's Thursday afternoon. This tooth pain just started this morning. It's killing me. What am I going to do? Folks, I'm telling you, you might want to take stock, even if it's just in the smallest bottle of clove oil that they offer. You may want to take stock in clove oil because that might save you over the weekend. You know, one of the things that I've learned, if somebody tells me that they're about to die because they have a dry socket, I think I believe them. Have I ever had a dry socket? No. I know this. I've had enough people tell me clove oil is what saved them from a dry socket. Maybe what I should say is a dry socket is a wicked infection. Anyway, we'll go on. We'll move on right here. But you know, the Food and Drug Administration says there's just not enough to really go with. Even though we have basically millions upon millions upon millions of individual applications of clove oil directly to teeth to help with the pain. I can't even tell you how many people have told me these same stories. You know what? I believe every one of them. So when I read the Food and Drug Administration doesn't think that clove oil is worth a flip, that doesn't dissuade me for one moment. It doesn't keep me from focusing on what works. I just question, you know, the sanity of the Food and Drug Administration, because probably what they have is they have a high proclivity to supporting people that make very expensive drugs that are very, very toxic, and that's just the way they roll. And it's not going to be any different than that. Point number two. And so the suggestion of applying clove oil might be in the form of a drop. Now, if you decide that you want to cook a ham in the oven today, I'm not going to try to stop you. But if you took cloves that you purchased at the store in the form of actual dry cloves, you actually push them into the ham and, you know, it's completely up to you. You know, one thing that I read last night, this might be a waste of your time, but they said the Emperor of China, I can't pronounce the name of the Emperor of China back in this time period that it mentioned. Before anybody was allowed to come into the Emperor's presence, they had to chew on cloves first, to make sure their breath wasn't horrid and offensive toward the emperor. Of course, I wondered, if they're standing 12 feet away from the emperor with armed bodyguard, that'd be pretty bad breath to reach out there and hit the emperor from 12 feet out. Anyway, so, yes, there's no scientific studies to show that that's true. It's just written in the literature that before you could approach the emperor, you had to chew on a couple of cloves first and hold them in your mouth to make sure your breath was just a little bit more tolerable. Okay, this comes from Plantomedica. When they give mice, and this is just a laboratory setting, when they give mice a drug called scopolamine, it's a memory-erasing drug. I don't know how many pharmacies have been broken into to get their hands on a memory-erasing drug, and I'm pretty sure the purpose of stealing this drug, scopolamine or Xyrem, is for one reason. It's to give it to somebody unbeknownst to them so they can have memory loss. And it's just all devious, diabolical, it's pure evil. And they will stand before judgment one day and give an accounting for why they gave this to a young lady or a young man. And it's just all bad. And so I kind of think that people that use that drug to take advantage of somebody else probably should just go ahead and have a millstone tied around their neck and do the rest of the world a favor. And anyway, enough of that. But when they gave mice scopolamine to erase their memories, there was one substance that completely reversed the memory loss caused by scopolamine. It was called clove oil. Folks, I can't make this up. It comes from the journal Plantomedica in the year 2011. Look it up for yourself and read it. What if your mind is not as sharp as it used to be? I took a couple of drops of clove oil this morning in water, and it was very strong. That's why my mind's so sharp. I'm just joking about that. What if your memory is not what it should be? Maybe there's been some type of a drop-off. Maybe you don't process information the same way that you used to. Maybe you used to be the brain of the outfit, and they used to rely on you heavily to remember all the facts and details and get everything accomplished that required memory to accomplish, but now there's been a drop-off, and your performance is suffering. Well, interesting. Point number two concerning the brain. Eugenol, which is the active ingredient from clove, it exhibits antidepressant properties comparable to that of tofranil. That comes from Brain Research, 2004. Did you catch that? Antidepressant? Maybe there's something about cloves that improves the function of organs and glands and tissues. What do you think about them apples? From the Journal of Traditional Chinese Medicine, 2013, clove was found to increase learning and memory ability in laboratory animals. Do you think that has value? Oh, my word, yes. You know, we've only got a certain amount of time while we're here, and the clock is running right now, right? Okay, I'm looking at the digital clock in the radio here in the control room of the radio station right now. It's ticking. Time's moving forward. I'm not getting any younger, and neither are you. Even if you're 6 years old, you're aging right now. Do you want to leave this earth on a very low note? No, you want to leave on a high note. If you can choose to do that. So why don't we leave on a high note, being extremely productive, instead of having a mind that's been lost? You know, that's always a sad deal when you find somebody is 72 years old, or 60 years old, or even 55 years old, and they have already significant dementia, and their lifestyle is such that they really don't accomplish much throughout the day. Which, I'm not trying to get off on that topic, but do you know how many cases of Alzheimer's we're probably going to have in just maybe another decade or so? There's probably going to be about 50 million cases. And without trying to be overly negative, who's going to take care of those people, and what's the cost going to be? We're going to be so broke. Okay, sorry. I'm supposed to encourage you and cheer you up and give you good information that's real that you can use. Sorry, that was very negative. Anyway, all right. Next topic right here. And to me, I'm just telling you, I just think this is impressive. So I'm trying to kind of clear up maybe some confusion from last week. You know as well as I do, every single week I read another story or I hear a news report or somebody tells me about a loved one. You know, in the real world, that's probably what I go on more than anything else. Instead of relying on the news, I just let people tell me their stories. And the truth is, there's a lot of people that have an infection and antibiotics don't even touch it anymore. And they might go through four or five different rounds of certain antibiotics just to find one that might start to suppress the infection. So I don't know if you've heard the same things that I've heard, but there's a wicked form of E. coli, which is a bacteria. There's a very wicked form of Streptococcus and staph. You don't want those infections. Who wants to have fungus growing all over their toenails and all over their skin? That's one of the things that I read last night, that clove oil was extremely effective at curing ringworm, which is a fungal infection. And I tried for about 2 minutes to find a scientific reference and could not. That doesn't make it not true. I don't even know how many times I've applied clove oil to different, what I would call, areas of my body to see if I could see an improvement from an injury. And I don't think I've ever seen a negative side effect. I'm just trying to tell you my own experience. Now, anything in nature can be misused, so don't put a drop up in your eye and expect to call me and complain about it. I didn't say to do that. But this came from Cornell University. And I won't go into all of it, but they tested all these natural compounds that are found in nature to see which one was going to be the most effective by far and away at helping to cure these antibiotic-resistant bacterial infections. And I won't go into, I'm not going to mention every one of them, but you've probably heard that garlic is pretty potent, and rosemary, and thyme, and cinnamon, and turmeric, and what's the other one I'm thinking of? Did I already say oregano? I think I did. But all those, they can have antibacterial properties to them. And this came from a journal called Review Biology 1998. So how many years ago was that? Well, now that's, 16 to 18 years ago, give or take. You know what they found was the very, very best at killing all bacteria? It was cloves. Cloves, my friend. So let's just say that somebody has a severely sore, tender, inflamed tooth, and the nerve is just going bonkers. You think maybe the reason the nerve is going bonkers and the reason they have so much pain in their tooth is because there's an active infection? Well, of course there is. Just consider this. If you have severe pain in your gut, well, what if it's due to infection? I think that's a likely scenario. But what if they cannot find the infection? Does that mean the infection's not real? No. What if they don't see anything when they take an ultrasound or X-ray or a CAT scan of your tummy with your tummy pain? Does that mean there's no infection? No. It might mean there's not an arrow sticking through your gallbladder because they didn't see an arrow. But it doesn't make it not so. But out of all the things that University of Cornell scientists found, clove was the most effective. I'm not telling anybody to go get clove oil or get clove powder or get cloves in a capsule. I just know I am. Because ultimately, I'm responsible for me. And you know what? I am very biased. I like feeling good as opposed to feeling bad. And if anyone out there has had children that have been sick with a tummy ache or an infection of some, well, of course, that is probably the most distress that I see people. When they have a child that's just sick for month after month after month. Oh, yes, by the way, I saw a 4-year-old boy this week that's been sick for 10 weeks, and the mother is just at the end of her rope, and she says the doctors keep saying it's a virus. I said, well, they have tested him, and they say no. So she's been to direct care, urgent care, emergency room, children's hospital, da 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 da. Nothing, nothing. I mean, yes, there's probably plenty of people that go to urgent care and they get great results. That's not what I'm referring to. So that's great. If you got a problem, you need to go to the emergency room, you go to the emergency room, you get the attention, the care that you need, I'm all for that. I actually had one day this week, it's the first time this year, I told a woman, take your husband to the emergency room. But then again, I felt like it's the most important decision we could make right now at this moment in time. Have you ever heard of somebody having a yeast infection like Candida? It seems to get a lot of press, and a lot of people come in talking about it. Well, there's a prescription drug called nystatin. Very, very popular drug. It's by prescription only. So when you go to the doctor with a yeast infection, they said, you know what, I'm going to put you on a course of nystatin. Well, what is the journal Mycology Medicine, the year 2014? That's just a year and a half ago. It says, in fact, that clove extract shows better kill-off of Candida than nystatin. Well, isn't that interesting? Well, I wonder which one of those, let me think, between clove and nystatin, which one's least toxic to the liver? Well, you already know the answer to that. Please, do your own literature search, find out for yourself, because that's about the number one question that I've had this entire week from what I covered last week, that Dr. Morgan, don't you know that clove oil is toxic? I can't find anything that says that, and I don't have any personal experience with that. I do know this, though. There's just going to be some people in the world that their digestive tract is so sensitive, they've probably got ulcers and erosions and sores, and they might have bleeding ulcers. Well, yes, just about anything they put in their stomach is probably going to irritate that. I don't know what to think about this one right here, but I'll just go ahead and read it. This comes from the Annals of Clinical Microbiology and Antimicrobials, the year 2005, and they're talking about stomach ulcers. So I'll let you be the judge of it, but they say in another study, clove was more potent at killing Helicobacter pylori, or sometimes for short, the abbreviated version is called H. pylori. So if somebody has stomach pain, they have heartburn, acid indigestion, sometimes they'll go to the doctor and they'll say, let's do a simple lab test and see if you have H. pylori. And they can kind of measure the amount of it. So if somebody has huge lab values showing they have H. pylori, they're going to give them like an antibiotic to try to kill it. Well, lo and behold, clove was more potent at killing Helicobacter pylori than the antibiotic amoxicillin, which I don't know what the most common antibiotic used among people in Texas is, but I'm guessing it's amoxicillin. Yeah, this one I don't think I shared with you last week. In one study, the popular mouth rinse, Listerine, weakly inhibited oral bacteria such as Strep, Candida, and toxic bacillus. So isn't that what Listerine is being promoted for? I mean, when they have ads on TV or cable, and they say, you know what, if you want to have, you know what causes bad breath? Toxic germs. Well, that'd be one of the reasons. If you eat a bunch of purple onions and you have a lot of garlic, oh yeah, you could have quite interesting breath, my friend. And it may be because of the sulfur molecules that's found in the onions and garlic. But in this study, they found that Listerine is not probably as effective at trying to kill off the germs in your mouth like they say it is, especially the bad ones. But guess what happened? This comes from the journal Chemistry Biodiversity 2012, and they showed that if you just added a few drops of clove oil to the Listerine, it greatly increased the effectiveness. You're probably saying to yourself, Dr. Morgan, you're just making this stuff up. I don't own a clove farm in Indonesia. I don't make one dime if, okay, all jokes aside, can you name me a cheaper remedy that's more effective than clove? No, you can't. Anyway, enough of that. Okay, where do I want to go now? Let's go ahead and cover this topic right here. And I'm just telling you, this really, really, really impresses me. And just because I'm impressed doesn't mean that you have to be impressed or anybody else. And again, this is the one part that I wish that were different. I'm just going to say it one more time. The highest profit business on earth is usually cancer treatment. It doesn't matter if you believe that. You don't have to. You can say that I'm biased. I am. Yes, I'm going to go on record this morning, and I'm actually looking at the computer. I'm recording what I'm saying, so I know what I'm saying. Cancer treatments are extremely ineffective at curing cancer. Where's the proof? Where are the scientific studies that demonstrate that taking chemotherapy is really what they claim it to be? And if you've had a treatment for cancer, I'd like to know, has your doctor ever told you how effective it is? Anyway, let me get off that topic. If I told you what's in my heart, I would say this. And you just have to decide if you believe or not. But my greatest desire for you is for you to be radiant and strong and vibrant. I want you having energy. I want you having vitality. I want you to be so productive that you can do all the things that God has placed before you as your unique work that He set for you to do. I want you to play with your kids and have fun. I don't want you to be in a continual state of dis-ease and stress and tremendous fatigue. I want you to be well. And so as I give you this information, you're supposed to use your active, vivid imagination and find out for yourself, what am I going to do? Obviously, I'm trying to influence you in a very biased manner. I'm kind of joking when I say that. Yeah, I always like giving recommendations. You won't know if you don't try. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? You could try it and not get a result. There is a drug that's called Zofran. This drug is used to calm nausea and vomiting that are extremely prevalent when someone's given chemotherapy. Okay? And so this comes from the Pharmaceutical Biology 2015. So this is brand new. I don't even think I found another article that even says this right here. But clove oil was found to be just as effective as Zofran at relieving nausea and vomiting. Does that tell you it helps assist the body at removing the horrible toxicity? By the way, what is chemotherapy? Is that an herb? Is that a nutrient? Is it a vitamin, a mineral? Is it a food? Is it an essential oil? Is it an essential fatty acid, a protein, carbohydrate, fat? No, it's none of those. It's just a poison. They're trying to give you just enough poison to cause the cancer cell to succumb to the poison. But unfortunately, there's very, very bad side effects. So you've heard of the term secondary cancer? That means you take a treatment for the primary cancer, And even though they might pronounce you cured for 6 months or a year, you almost always develop a secondary cancer because the chemotherapy was so bad and so toxic, it actually caused another cancer to form somewhere else. Okay, number two right here. This comes from Archives of Pharmacological Research. I can't even pronounce it. Sorry about that. 2011. There's a very famous drug called Adriamycin, which is a chemotherapeutic drug, and the other name is Doxorubicin. This is given to people all the time that have cancer. And yes, it's very famous for shrinking tumors. The only problem is you die of heart failure when you take it. Does everybody die? No. Some people are pretty hardy, no pun intended. So their hearts may go into it strong enough, but some people, their hearts may not be able to take it. So that's one of the famous drawbacks of chemotherapy, is that they may induce heart failure. That's kind of a bad deal. And I don't know that I've ever heard someone explain that to me. When they sit in front of me and I ask them, did your doctor tell you that this drug is world famous for causing heart failure? And I haven't heard one person ever tell me, yes, that was explained to me before the drug was recommended. Not one time. Of course, I've only been doing this for 26 years, so really, what do I know? I've only had 26 years to ask questions. Did your doctor tell you this was going to cause heart failure? So when a person takes chemotherapy and they have bad, bad heart problems, I always ask them, well, did your doctor tell you this was a side effect of taking the Adriamycin? They go, no. All right, I'm being straight with you. But they've shown that eugenol, or clove, was very, very good at blocking heart toxicity when people took the chemotherapy, like the doxorubicin. I can't make this stuff up, folks. Now, this really, really impresses me, and I don't know that I have really done as much research or study into this as I'd like, but it's really piqued my interest, so I'm going to start looking into this as much as I can and see if I can ask more questions to get more answers that I can share with you on another time, another date, another program. Because I would just soon do whatever I can to bless you and help you and strengthen you. Wouldn't that be great? The most frequently altered gene in human cancers is called the P53 tumor suppressor gene. All right. It seems nearly impossible for a normal cell to become a malignant cancer cell unless the P53 tumor suppressor gene is inactivated. So you got to have a problem with that P53 tumor suppressor gene before a normal cell can become a malignant cell. Are we on the same page? I got that information from nature.com, and I just read the abstract. I didn't read the whole article. So what you're wanting is, you're wanting to induce programmed cell death. That's called apoptosis. So cancer cells, they seem to be lacking an active P53 tumor suppressor gene, because if you don't have that, you can't suppress cancer. And cells no longer obey the command to go ahead and die, that they've reached the end of their usefulness. No. They say, we're going to go on living, we're going to refuse to die, and that's what a cancer or a tumor is. Well, they're showing now that eugenol or clove induces programmed cell death. Oh, now there's something very advantageous. So if you're recommending chemotherapy, I want you to take a look into that and tell me what you think about it. And that comes from Asia Pacific Journal of Cancer and Prevention. Yeah. Let me reread the journal again. Here's the title of the journal. Asia Pacific Journal Cancer Prevention 2015. I like that word prevention there, don't you? You tell me, would you rather... You know, back in the early 90s, I still remember Kay from Frankston, Texas. She kept telling me there's going to be a cure for my husband's cancer and diabetes, because a pharmacy rep came by and told me they're 2 years away, so it's going to be on the market. That has never happened. But then again, probably at least Can I say once every 2 years? Because I don't want to say it like it happens all the time, but probably every couple of years, there will be a report. Of course, I think it's probably to boost stock prices, that they're just on the verge of a major breakthrough. And, of course, stock prices shoot through the roof based on that because they know that the most expensive treatments in the world are cancer treatments, and healthcare is the most expensive thing. So if you're 65 years of age and your house is paid for and your cars are paid for and you've got a lot of money in the bank, well, the most expensive thing that you'll ever do in your lifetime is pay for healthcare. Aging and dying is the most expensive proposition of all time. But my plan is a little bit different. I want you to age gracefully without having to spend everything that you've worked your entire life on or for and paying for healthcare costs. Researchers now believe that clove seed extract shouldn't, or clove seed, I mean, that's just a clove, right? You can buy those at Walmart, Brookshire's, wherever you want, should be explored as a cancer drug. Really? We're going to take clove and call it a drug now? No, that comes from the Pakistan Journal of Pharmaceutical Science, 2014. So what if we had a substance that could actually cause cancer cells to die without any toxicity to the body? Would you like that? Okay. Eugenol's direct application in the digestive tract makes it a potential agent against colon cancer via its ability to induce apoptosis. That comes from Cell Biology International, 2011. Folks, I can just keep going and going and going. But, you know, really all I want to do is I'm trying to tell you not to be so fearful. I have had so many people call me, and they're just terrified that clove oil is something that's evil. I don't even know where that comes from. I've taken it myself. I don't think I have to be terrified. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
You sound like a highly intelligent individual. Is that correct?
Well, I've taken clove oil.
That makes you very intelligent, by the way. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. It sounds like we're having some interference, but I guess it went away.
Well, there probably is. It seems like every week there's something new that goes on.
Okay, I'm hearing you twice on this phone.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that. Do you have your radio on?
No, sir.
Okay, well, I don't know what's going on other than what's going on, so what can I do for you? I can hear you good enough.
I just wanted to tell you that I've been taking clove oil internally and topically ever since Monday. I had blood work done yesterday, and all my blood work was good except for my potassium, and I've been having potassium problems for the last couple of months.
Well, the one thing that I want to accomplish with you is I probably want to spend more time in examination where I can bear out where the potassium. So in theory, we could spend all our time talking about what it could be, but we just need to figure out what the root cause of it is, and that means we just need to devote time to that instead of other stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. But I just wanted to, the main thing I wanted to say is that the clove oil has not hurt me any.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. So you don't have any negative deleterious side effects, right?
No, sir. No, sir. I've been taking a half a teaspoon in about 2 ounces of lemon water every day.
Is it more tolerable that way?
Yes, it is.
See, I've taken it many times, and I like if I use maybe an ounce or two of kombucha, and then I add some extra virgin olive oil, I don't know, two teaspoons, a tablespoon. I like olive oil, though. If I put the clove oil on top of that, it seems to be very easy to go down. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question just for the sake of people that are listening also?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Has a doctor ever recommended to you to take chemotherapy before?
Yes, they have.
Do you mind telling me, did you have any negative side effects of taking chemotherapy?
Yes, I did.
Do you mind just sharing just in general? I don't want to embarrass you or anybody else, but did you have any positive benefits to taking the chemotherapy that you're aware of?
No, I threw up. I had diarrhea. I had blood from my rectum. I still have blood out of my nose.
Oh, bless your heart. And that may have a little bit to do with the potassium levels, because one of the things about potassium is It greatly enhances how the blood flows and the speed at which it flows. And so the faster the blood flows through the arteries and veins, the cleaner the blood is, the healthier the person is. And so one of the things you'd be looking at also, if the doctor were to measure your blood pressure, it's called the pulse pressure gap. And so let's just say, for example, normal blood pressure might be 120 over 80. The top number is a systolic, the bottom number is a diastolic, but there's going to be a gap in between the two. So if we take 80 and subtract it from the 120, we come up with a number 40, right?
Yes, sir.
What you'll see is when there's more adrenaline coursing through a person's veins, you're going to see that pulse pressure gap increase. So it's going to be like a 50-point difference or a 55-point difference or a 60-point difference. So if somebody said their blood pressure is 160 over 100, that would be a 60-point difference. And I know I'm just simplifying it, but that means there's still way too much adrenaline. And that's one thing that your body uses potassium for. It tries to rid the body of excess adrenaline or stress hormones. Yeah, and I know we don't have a great connection. I'm sorry about that.
Well, I know one thing. I took 2 rounds of chemo, and I'll never take any more.
Well, I want to do everything within my power to encourage you and to help you and to bless you on every level. But in the meantime, we need to probably try to focus our energy on solving that potassium issue if it's that low, like you say.
Yes, sir.
Well, in the meantime, salt your food with raw salt. It's going to be good for you.
Okay.
And if I have to, I guess I could come over to the house today and cook some sweet potatoes for you on my cast iron griddle with coconut oil.
All right. I've got a bunch of sweet potatoes in a box here.
Well, you might have to take advantage of them then, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for your call today. I really appreciate you just a whole bunch.
Well, God bless you, and I so appreciate your program, and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, but right now I want God to bless you more.
I believe he is.
Well,
I'm using the Cobol, and I believe it's one of the best things that I have tried.
Well, thank you for saying so. I really, that means a lot to me.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I don't know about the connections here. I'm sorry. I just know this is a brand-new control board. There's probably going to be a few bugs or glitches that just need to be worked out. So, anyway, my name is Dr. Roy Morgan. This program is Health Essentials, and I think we have another call coming, and let's see if this one goes better. Good morning. Welcome to the program. All right. Can you hear me now? Hello, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear you. How can I be of service?
Could you kind of give a general overview of some things, maybe homeopathic, or just like the things that come to your mind to help with arthritis in the hands?
Well, didn't we sort of cover that last week? Let me just kind of cut to the chase here. When there's arthritis in the hands, maybe my mind goes back to what is the quality of a person's blood. And I realize these are things that you can't see with a naked eye. I can't just send a little bitty submarine with a television camera to examine the quality of a person's blood. But we do have organs such as the liver and the kidneys, maybe the gut also. These are your very filters of the blood. And so I always think that when I used to look at the blood, and I don't even know how many times I've looked at a person's blood under a microscope, can I just suggest about 3,000 or 4,000 times? But when you look at it, the people that always had arthritis in their hands would always see crystals forming in the blood, crystallized debris. Now, that's my springboard for the next conversation. Have you ever heard of somebody having gout?
Yes.
Would you agree with me that's probably hands down the most severely painful form of arthritis there is?
I've heard that.
Well, I tell you what, if somebody has gout and they're scheduled to go to a dancing competition, and maybe they have plane tickets and they've already bought their tickets, they ain't going to the dancing competition, are they?
Right.
But that's what gout is. Gout is an excessive buildup of crystallized uric acid that's going to form around the joint. And under a microscope, it looks like needles and knife blades and shards of broken glass. So one of the things that I've found over and over again is I'm trying to improve the kidneys. And so I know that, you know, when a newborn baby comes in the world, my interpretation is they're perfect. Well, you know, from human terms. They're without flaw. There's no glitch at all. But living in this world, oh boy, can we pick up a lot of debris and residue. So when the hands are involved, I almost always think about what can I do to improve the kidneys. Drinking 25 Cokes a day will not improve the kidneys.
Right.
What else do you want to know?
Improving the abdominal pain. You know, I took the prescription anti-inflammatory, and also some. Are there any homeopathic anti-inflammatory?
Well, homeopathy is a very precise, specific natural medicine. I mean, yeah, homeopathy, you could use Nux Vomica and Carbo Veg.
Say those again, please.
Nux Vomica, and the second one is called Carbo Veg.
Okay.
So it's like the word carbon minus the N, and then veg, just short for vegetables, V-E-G. But those are homeopathic remedies that have a direct action upon the human digestive tract. But it sure does help if your physician can pinpoint the reason why you have abdominal pain.
Right. I think I got it after I took the anti-inflammatories.
Well, you know, drugs like aspirin and Advil and Tylenol, they're pretty famous for burning a hole in the stomach.
Right. And so these homeopathic things could help heal the damage.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, all you can do is try. I mean, they're very, very inexpensive, and they're very, very safe. But I'm trying to think. The latest study shows that every time a person takes an aspirin, whether it's a full-strength adult aspirin, you know, 325 milligrams of salicylic acid, or if it's a baby aspirin, the average person loses anywhere between a half a teaspoon to a tablespoon and a half of blood every single time they take an aspirin. So every human being, when they take an aspirin, they spring a leak. And some of it may be because it causes a small erosion in the stomach or the duodenum. It's like a small ulcer every time you take an aspirin. Now, I know that factually, it's only about 20,000 people a year are hospitalized because of taking baby aspirin. So that's really not significant. It's only 20,000 people, right? I think it's real significant.
Sure.
And the current estimates are it's only 2,000 people that die a year because of aspirin. Only 2,000. I just don't want to be one of those 2,000.
Right.
And I don't want it to be one of my loved ones or friends that dies. But you're gonna leak blood, and you're going to have erosions, and you're going to dissolve debris. I'm not saying that aspirin's all bad. I mean, I had a gentleman tell somebody else this week in the office, which I thought it was just perfect. He said, I had this ear lesion. He had a cancer on his ear. And this guy is crazy. You know what he did? He took a product, a natural, healthy product called Curaderm that was based on eggplant extract and salicylic acid, which is aspirin, and he completely killed and dissolved the cancer. You can't even see where it was anymore. It's hard to believe, but his skin has come back just perfectly pink like a baby's bottom. I call that radical. What gives him the right to try to take care of himself? I don't even understand that, but I'm proud of him.
Sure.
Yeah, I can tell everything's coming through on the. I don't know. I understand that either. Anyway, but thank you for your phone call today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. See, I can hear the second program coming through, and I don't understand how it can do that. Maybe I can move that down right there. I wonder if that's better. Anyway, I don't understand that. Sorry about that. I really would like to have a very clear, clean sound and signal, but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. Anyway, I have just really been looking forward to today, and I hope I've given you some good information, and I pray the Lord blesses you with this information, and have a wonderful weekend.
KBJS FM 90.3. KBJS FM 90.3.